Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest for this segment is Mike Testa. He's the president and CEO of Visit Sacramento. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Let's start with a fantastic video I saw posted on Facebook, which even included a blooper reel.
Yeah, as an introvert in an extrovert's job, it's a little bit of my nightmare, but we were trying to show the work that Visit Sacramento is doing even during the pandemic. I mean, obviously the hospitality industry and tourism has been hugely impacted over the last 11 months. But the work that we do typically when we book a convention or a sporting event or something like that, you know, it's 2 to 3 years out from when we actually book it. So I'm grateful that our team, you know, continued booking, and that video was meant to show that. And had a couple other good announcements this week with the World's Strongest Man competition. So I think the big goal of the video was to show that even though it's been tough, there are good times ahead. You know, hope is on the horizon.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that stood out to me from the video was the concert you guys did. Obviously, you weren't allowed to do the normal Tower Bridge dinner, but tell me a little bit about that concert you guys did on the bridge.
Yeah, we partnered with Danny Wimmer Presents, who produces Aftershock for us in Sacramento. And, you know, obviously his business had to pivot too. He's the largest independent festival producer in the country, and he wasn't able to do any of those events last year. So he started getting creative around the country with drive-in concerts and things like that. He called me and said, you think we could do a concert on the Tower Bridge with a local band called Dance Gavin Dance? And, you know, I'm one of those people who always says, yeah, let's figure out a way to do that, which sometimes is problematic, but this time it worked out. And you know, we worked with Caltrans and the city of Sacramento and city of West Sacramento and produced this really cool concert on the bridge. Dance Gavin Dance is a local band. They used to play concerts in the park downtown. And now, you know, if you go to YouTube, their songs get 7 million views. And they did they're a legit worldwide band. So they played for about 90 minutes on the bridge. I think it was about 18 songs. And then that was streamed out all over the world. And, you know, what's really cool about partnering with Danny Wimmer, they have all this great data. They know who's downloading the stream. And so, you know, a lot of people will tell me their event will bring international people, but Danny hands me the data that shows that 30 people in London downloaded the stream, and Saudi Arabia, and I mean, pick a place in the world, and they're represented. So great exposure for the band, great exposure for Sacramento, and, you know, being able to put on a concert in a worldwide pandemic was pretty cool.
I've got a couple of friends that work in production, and they were working on that show. And I remember when they posted it on Facebook, I thought, man, that looks really cool. Maybe we should do that again sometime.
Yeah, it's funny. I've asked Danny. I said, hey, man, let's make this thing an annual event. Let's make a, you know, concert on the Tower Bridge series and get bigger bands and that type of thing. You know, the challenge with something like this is trying to keep it quiet, because you can't have 2,000 people show up
right
and try to watch this thing. It just gets it's really hard to manage when that happens. So that's the only challenge I see with getting bigger bands out there. You know, if you had a huge name out there, the word just tends to get out.
Right.
But Danny's open to it. I mean, I'm hoping that some of the things he created during the pandemic will still be viable post-pandemic. And certainly, if we could create a cool annual series in Sacramento, that's good for our city as well.
I'm sure we'll figure something out. Why should locals care about tourism in Sacramento?
You know, it's funny. People say to me all the time, well, we don't get a lot of tourists here. We're not Las Vegas or New York. And certainly we don't get as many tourists as those cities. But, you know, there are more than 15 million people, more than a million people a month that visit Sacramento for different purposes over the course of a year.
Sure.
Some of that is just genuine business travel. Some of it's coming to, you know, a music festival like Aftershock. And a lot of it is conventioners going to conventions. And we always tell people that tourism isn't about the tourists. It's about the people who live in the city that the tourist is visiting. And we say that because of all the money that they spend in the market. You know, I'm told from some restaurateurs that a large convention will increase their revenue by $40,000 over a 3-day period. That's one restaurant.
Oh, my goodness.
So you think about all the restaurants and all the attractions and retail and hotels and bars and all those things that are getting a benefit from this. And then, you know, the other thing of why should locals matter, like say you don't own a restaurant or a bar, so you don't really care about that.
Right.
You look at the projects being funded by tourism. They are the renovation of the Community Center Theater, the redo of the Memorial Auditorium, the Powerhouse Science Center, the mayor's plan to invest $47 million on the old Sacramento waterfront. All those things are paid for out of hotel taxes. So it's not the locals funding it. It's the tourists that fund it, but the locals that get to enjoy it. So that's the part of tourism in Sacramento that you should care. You should want us to get more tourists, because when we do, they increase their spending, which goes to projects that benefit the people who live here.
Absolutely. And you're talking about, take, for example, one person that comes to town for a three-day convention in Sacramento. Just think about how much that one person is going to spend on lodging, on restaurants, and maybe a little entertainment on their downtime. And you take that one person and multiply it by, you know, 1,000 or 5,000 people, however many people are coming to town, that adds up.
Well, and think about, you know, the non-intuitive things. I always forget my tie when I go to something out of town, so I'm
sure
going to stop and buy a new one. Uber, Lyft, every means of transportation coming from the airport, renting a car, and it's everything in between. When you leave the convention, you'll, like you said, you know, stop by at the bar and get a drink and go out to dinner with friends. So the tourism economy isn't just about, well, I paid my hotel bill. It's everything that you'd spend money on when you're out of town. That's what's happening in Sacramento.
My toothbrush. I always forget my toothbrush.
There you go. Those are usually free, though, at the hotel.
So. Oh, all right. Well, then never mind. All right.
Yeah, no, not all of them. I mean, I'm sure you've bought many toothbrushes over the country in the course of your travels.
Exactly. And I'm a little clumsy, too, so I usually wind up buying some Band-Aids and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, like you
said. Well, and I've got two kids, so there's always some sort of souvenir that comes home with me in my bag.
Exactly, yeah. Like you said, it's the little things that really add up after a while.
Yeah.
And if you're going to deal with a pandemic, the upside is it's a perfect time to expand the convention center. That's a real game changer, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, you know, we looked pretty smart in that our building closed in July of 2019, and then suddenly the pandemic hit. My counterparts across California were canceling conventions every week throughout last year. We didn't have to do that because we knew our building was already going to be closed, so we didn't have anything booked. The construction has continued over the last 11 months. The building is almost ready to open, and it is a game changer for us because the convention center is simply bigger. If you drive by on J Street, there's no way to miss that building looks entirely different than it did just, you know, a few months ago. And it allows us to go after two conventions at the same time, which we didn't have the ability to do that before in the old building. It now has two entrances, increased exhibition space, two ballrooms. Again, the ability for us to host two conventions at the same time was big because when a convention comes, they need 3 days to move in, they need 2 or 3 days to move out. And during those move in and move out periods, everything's dead, right? There's nothing going on. You don't have conventioners staying in the hotel. So now we cut out that downtime. As one group moves in, the other's already in the building. So
Wow. It
just creates a constant flow of tourism, whereas prior to the expansion, we'd have 3 day gaps in between the groups.
How old was the original convention center? When was that thing built?
It was built in the early 1970s, and it was expanded in 1996. That was the last time, so, you know, close to 30 years ago at this point. And so this is the latest expansion. And, you know, you look at it, it's corner to corner now, that building is. So I'm not sure when the next expansion would be. They'd probably just have to go up. But honestly, Doug, I saw this expansion on paper. You know, I saw the plans, and I thought, yeah, well, that'll be fine. But like I said, when you drive by that building, it is unmistakable. And I think, you know, before, the architectural side of the building was brutalist. And that's what it looked like. It wasn't very friendly. It wasn't very welcoming. And now the building, just the energy of it is totally different. And, you know, I'm in the business of you only get one chance to make a first impression. And I think the first impression of the Safe Credit Union Convention Center, I think that first impression will be really strong.
I can just imagine the inside of that thing, too, because technology's advanced a little bit over the last 50 years or so.
Yeah, and the old building was so spread out. If you were on one side and had to get to the other, I think you'd probably be in shape by the time you got there. So they've changed some of that, too. The flow is a lot better, and access to different parts of the building is a lot easier.
That's great. Yeah, I can't wait to get in there and check it out. And with our remarkable weather here in Sacramento, we're a magnet for sporting events. You touched on a little bit of that. Give me some details on what we've got on tap, Michael.
Well, we just signed the World's Strongest Man competition. We signed a three-year deal with them. So the first year is actually going to be this June, which, you know, obviously is going to be interesting in the middle of COVID.
Right.
But we found a way to make it work, very similar to what the NBA is doing, limited spectators and things like that in an outdoor space. So that'll be a fun event. If you've never seen it, these guys are huge. We ordered T-shirts for them, and the sizes were like 6XL, which I didn't know they made. It feels like a bed sheet.
Wow.
And, you know, these guys, if you watch it on YouTube, they're carrying a steel harness that is holding three full motorcycles. They're deadlifting 1,300 pounds. They're throwing beer kegs 20 feet up in the air over a bar. So it's just visually really kind of fun to watch. And again, these guys are just giants. So the visual of it is really cool. And then we also have our first Ironman. Sacramento's never hosted an Ironman competition worldwide, event, and it'll be here late October. That event sold out very quickly because, like everything else, all the Ironmans were canceled last year.
Right.
And that's the type of event, you know, that folks come into town a couple days early. They stay a couple days late to recover after the race. They usually bring family and friends with them. It's a big deal if you're in an Ironman. You want people to see it. So that's one of those huge events that brings a very affluent crowd that will spend a lot of money in our city. And that part's great. And the fact that it's televised worldwide is great. But it's also fun for locals. I mean, I love that our city is now hosting these world-class, big-time events and that we have the ability to do that.
What about March Madness, Mike? Is that coming to town?
It is. You know, we unfortunately missed our shot last year with the pandemic. It hit right as March Madness was about to start.
Right.
And it's a three-year cycle, so we'll get it back in 2023. We just signed 9 NCAA events, including March Madness, including women's basketball, which hasn't been here in 10 years. And then we signed the College Cup, which is soccer, the men's and women's, for the first time ever. And then some track and field events as well. So we've got a great relationship with the NCAA. And, you know, the thing with sports, Doug, is you got to prove yourself. Once you demonstrate that you can host and manage large-scale events, you become more attractive to different event producers. So that was part of the deal with Ironman. That was part of the deal with World's Strongest Man. We've done a good job with events in the past, so we're finding more partners that want to join forces with us.
Well, it's still sinking in, that t-shirt size 6XL. It's like, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think you could slide it over a car. If you need to get
huge. What about music festivals? Let's talk a little bit about that, Mike.
Aftershock has been a great thing for Sacramento. We started it as a one-day event back in 2012 with about 12,000 people in attendance. This year, it's set to be a four-day festival with 40,000 people a day. Mm. Headliners are Metallica, playing two different nights of the festival, which is something that hasn't happened before. So we're optimistic. It's in mid-October. There's a lot of time between now and then. You know, vaccine's going out, and we're hoping that we'll be able to pull this thing off. It's outdoors, so that certainly helps. But that's one of those events. It's one of the largest festivals in the country, and I believe the largest hard rock festival on the West Coast. A destination festival. So more than 60% of the people who come to it don't live anywhere near Sacramento. I mean, again, you name a state in the country or a country in the world, and they likely have representation at Aftershock. So we're trying to make more of those. We would love to add a country music festival, you know, the weekend before, the weekend after, and a classic rock or Americana festival the weekend after that. My goal is to get three music festivals, three weekends in a row, and bring close to 400,000 people to the market.
Yeah, if you'd have told me I was going to go more than a year without seeing a concert, I would have said, you know, obviously you've been smoking something. But
yeah, you and me both, man. It's been a hard year without music.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, just game-changing, right? And, you know, it's nice being able to watch a lot of these shows online, but it's just not the same.
Nope, it's not. It's not. I agree with you. I think we're all just trying to get the water wherever we can at this point. And you know, like you said, the computer shows are a nice touch, but it's just not the same as being in front of these guys.
You're listening to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest this morning is Mike Testa. He's the president and CEO of Visit Sacramento, online at visitsacramento.com. And we can find you on social at Visit Sacramento. What's the national perception of Sacramento, Mike?
It's interesting that the perception has changed over the years. You know, 10 years ago, we were known for the gold rush of 1849. And the historic and heritage pieces of Sacramento. And we're still known for those things. And they're really important to our identity because they're our history. But I think the introduction of farm to fork, of acknowledging the agricultural production in this region, has been a huge piece of our new identity. We are seen as a food town. That identity and marketing that identity is what attracted the Michelin Guide to Sacramento. And if you don't know what the Michelin Guide is, it's an international guide that rates restaurants. So when you're traveling, you look at this book and you know, kind of decide where you want to eat dinner.
Right.
And I think the thing that people don't realize about the Michelin Guide is prior to Sacramento being in the book, there were four cities in the U.S. that were included in the Michelin Guide.
Mm.
New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C., and San Francisco. And the fifth city in the U.S. added was Sacramento.
Wow.
That's pretty good culinary company that we're keeping. And again, I'm not sure the locals always realize what a draw we are from a food standpoint. You know, the food that our restaurants use is grown around this region, and so we're getting it directly from the farmers. It's extremely fresh. And that same produce is being put on a truck and taken to New York City and probably picked a little bit early so it ripens on the truck. We grow the food that feeds the rest of the country, but we get to eat it first, which is a pretty cool thing if you live here.
Absolutely. I know. That's the nice thing about living in the Sacramento area. We are the farm-to-fork capital, and not only that, but not just great food, but we've got some great wine nearby, too.
We do. You know, we're always overshadowed by our neighbors in Napa and Sonoma, and obviously they make great wine, but there are more than 200 wineries in this region, many of them, you know, gold medal winning wineries, and wine has been grown here for well over a century, so it's not like a new industry in the region. And if you like wine, if you're a wine aficionado, there are some really good winemakers in this region. Bogle, which is over in Clarksburg, I mean, it is a worldwide brand.
Mm-hmm.
They have them on Disney cruises. You can find it in London. You don't get that big if you're not making an exceptional product. So there are a lot of those winemakers in this region, so we're spoiled in that regard as well.
We could talk about craft beer, but that we'll save that for another show because we don't have all day. But
yeah, that's a full 30 minutes.
Right. One thing I did want to talk to you about, though, is the Save Sacramento Restaurants movement. I mean, our restaurants are just really getting hammered in this pandemic.
Our audience is obviously the people who don't live in Sacramento, but during the pandemic, we changed our audience to the residents. And,
right.
You know, part of that farm to fork capital identity is because of the restaurants. And so we were just trying to remind folks that those places needed our support. Obviously, they weren't doing in-restaurant dining. The outdoor dining was stopped for a long time. So we were just encouraging people to patronize them as best you can, buy, you know, gift cards to give as gifts to people. If you usually go out for your anniversary dinner, still go out, just bring it back home. And, you know, the reality is we've already lost some, and we likely will lose a few more. So we're just trying to make sure that, you know, we don't get to the point where somebody says, boy, I wish you had told me. We were trying to say, okay, we're telling you now, if you don't help these restaurants, we're going to lose a lot of them. So I think we helped to move the needle, but it's certainly not over yet. So that campaign is not done.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, too, because my wife and I like to do takeout, you know, before the pandemic started. So now we feel like we're being patriotic about it. Hey, we're doing it, you know.
There you go. There you go.
Let's talk a little bit about the Visit Sac podcast.
We'd plan to do, I think, I want to say 16 episodes in 2020, and we ended up doing over 40. It became a great tool for us to talk about how the pandemic was affecting the market, whether that was with restaurateurs or hoteliers. The latest podcast is with a gentleman from Sac State, Dr. Greg Shaw, talking about their tourism program there and some of their future goals. So the podcast became a way for us to connect and communicate with not only visitors, but the local community, and just start sharing some stories of inspiration and just trying to give people ideas and facts so they could help those in need in this community. So it's been a great thing. It's been very well received. Our host is Brandon Darnell, who works for us, and he does a fantastic job. And I love the variety of people we've had on that podcast. My wife is the ultimate critic in my house, and she listens to it. And she told me a couple of months ago, your podcast is really good. So I thought that was a pretty good ringing endorsement from the spouse, at least.
Right. Coming from inside the house, you know that's got to be good news.
There you go. Yeah, we don't argue about that stuff. If she says it, it must be true.
Right, right. Where can I find the Visit Sac podcast?
You can find it on our website. There's links to all those programs there. It's probably the easiest way to do it. Certainly social media. We've got an amazing Instagram account, and certainly something that I would encourage people to sign up for on the podcast, because, again, there's some great people coming up in future months.
Online, we can find you at visitsacramento.com, and we can find you on social at Visit Sacramento.
And all of those are, we've got a really, really talented social team, and all of those are listed on our website. So, like you said, visitsacramento.com, head out there and get connected with us.
That's a good place to start right there, and you've got links to everything.
Yes, sir.
Well, Mike, we're early on a Sunday morning, and before I let you go, of course, we have to go back and talk about that fantastic video. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So, you know, it's I think as we sit down and we went over last year, because it was a different year for us. You know, we laid off a lot of our staff. We went from 42 full-time employees to 23. We had a lot of folks furloughed, and so you start thinking, you know, were we productive last year? What did we do? And as we look through the list and kind of went back in the calendar to see what we had accomplished, there was a lot more than I think we realized.
Right.
And it was inspiring for us when we went through it. It was like, man, there's good stuff coming. So I think the thought was, can we go back and build something that not only gives credit to the folks on our team who have done amazing work, but also inspires people that there's, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And so that was the goal, that the pandemic is not permanent, that, you know, what we've been going through has been really hard and longer than anybody anticipated, but it's temporary. So that was the idea, just to, that we're not quite out of the woods yet. I tell people there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but we got a lot of tunnel left. But at least there's finally that light. So that was really the goal with the video. Talk about Aftershock, talk about Iron Man, and talk about, you know, the concert on the Tower Bridge. And, you know, the Farm to Fork Festival, the Tower Bridge Dinner, we are planning those full speed ahead right now. And we're going to keep doing that until somebody tells us we can't.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, one thing I loved about the video is you've got a nice little blooper reel at the end that just made me laugh out loud.
You know, the bloopers come naturally to me, Doug.
Me too.
there was no shortage of clips that they could use for that. And, you know, again, we thought that was important, too. We want to be light on this thing, and we don't take ourselves too seriously. And I thought that was fun, too. And again, the guy who made the video, Excite, makes the video and makes it incredible work. And I think they had a large library to choose from when they put together that last part.
Best way to track down that video, go to visitsacramento.com and find you guys on Facebook. Our friend Tracy Rockefeller, T-Rock, she posted it. That's where I found it. You got to watch that video. If you do nothing else this weekend, you definitely have to watch that video.
Yeah, it's on Instagram. It's obviously linked from our Instagram account and all those things. So it's one of usually my comfort zone to be front and center on that stuff. But we had a good story to tell, and we've got an incredibly talented team that put that together for us. And I think that's one of the things I'm grateful for over the past 11 months, the team at Visit Sacramento, and it's a much smaller team than it was a year ago, is really committed. It's impossible to do this job, Doug, if you don't believe in what you're talking about. You can't sell Sacramento if you don't believe in Sacramento. And I'm grateful that the team we have, we are the biggest, you know, fans of the city. We used to have an employee that called herself a super fan, and I think we're all super fans of Sacramento at Visit Sacramento. I'm optimistic for the future.
Proud native of Sacramento, and I just love what you guys do. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Mike Testa is the president and CEO of Visit Sacramento. Check him out online at visitsacramento.com. And we can find you on social at Visit Sacramento. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Mike.
Thank you, Doug.
This has been The Public File. If you'd like us to cover your nonprofit, email sacpsa@entercom.com, sacpsa@entercom.com. I'm Doug Thomas. Enjoy your Sunday, and thanks for listening.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.